I woke up on a Monday morning in August of 2007. It was a warm Baltimore day. I looked out the window of our home in Mount Washington, and the place where my car used to be parked was now empty. So I did what maybe most people would do in that situation, was I had a little spaz attack and took stock, went downstairs, looked outside, tried to figure out, did I park it somewhere else? But no, I had parked it directly in front of my house where I normally parked, and the car was gone. So then I called the insurance company and the Baltimore police, and a police officer showed up, and he took the report and explained to me that a lot of times what happens is a teenager got into your car, he's going to take it out for a joyride, he's going to drive it till it runs out of gas, he's probably going to leave it wherever it is that he is when it runs out of gas. It won't look like it did when it left your house, and you'll get it back eventually. And so I said, thank you for getting on the case together. I think we can crack this one. I felt like, you know, maybe I'll see my car again, maybe I won't. So I was bummed. It was my first ever brand new car. It was a Mazda 6 sedan, black. It was a, you know, nice car. Think Honda Accord, Toyota Camry, that kind of car. Nothing super special. It was my first new car, and it was now gone. I had leased it 6 months prior. And we had a two-year-old at the time, Ethan. And we had to explain to Ethan what happened to the car. And at the time, he watched Dora the Explorer. So we said, it's kind of like when Swiper takes things that don't belong to him. Someone took our car. So life moves on. My neighbor, Rob, was nice enough to lend me his Acura sedan to use instead of my car. So I didn't have to rent a car. I had Rob's nice Acura. So fast forward to the following weekend. I noticed it stolen on a Monday. That Saturday, Ethan and I went out to run errands. Jennifer, my wife, was home. She was very pregnant at the time, about 8.5 months pregnant. She would give birth 2 weeks later to her second son, Alec. So Ethan and I are out running errands. We go to a couple of stores, and we end up at the Home Depot at the Reisterstown Road Plaza. I should say that all week, during that week, I was looking for my car. I was driving in neighborhoods I wouldn't normally drive in Rob's car, sort of hoping maybe I'd stumble upon my car and, you know, alert the authorities or something, but I never saw my car. And we get to the Home Depot, and I go in, I buy a couple of things, and we come out. Ethan's in one of those seats in a shopping cart, and we go back out to Rob's car. And I put Ethan in the car seat in the back seat, and then I go to the back of the car, and I start putting the things I bought from the shopping cart into the trunk. And out of the corner of my eye, about 75 yards away, I see a black Mazda sedan. And I kind of do a double take, and I laugh to myself, thinking like, yeah, right. And then I look at it again, and that license plate sequence looks awfully familiar to me. And then I look at it a third time, and a couple of weeks prior, I had scraped a curb in a parking lot, and it left a little yellow paint on my fender. And damn if this car didn't have yellow paint on the bottom of its fender. And then the adrenaline starts pumping. I was like, oh, my God, I just found my car. Not only that, there were two people in it, so I had found the car thief. And apparently he was running errands also. They were at the Home Depot. They didn't have it at a chop shop sending parts to, you know, Tokyo or something. Like, they were just driving around town in my car. So it was like this moment of truth. Like, do I run over there? Do I take the car and ram him? Or what do I do right now? And Ethan, by the way, is two in the back seat. It's a 100-degree August Baltimore humid day. And he needs his nap. He needs to go home. I am now in the middle of this situation. So I call 911. I'm thinking they're going in the store. I'll call 911. The cops will get there. And when they come out, we'll nab them. It'll be the greatest. I'll get my car back. This guy's going to jail. And, you know, I had this envision. And I'm talking to 911. I'm all fired up. And what happens is the woman kind of saw me, I think, and she starts kind of walking away. And the guy gets behind the wheel and starts driving away while I'm on the phone with the dispatcher. So I'm telling I'm like, I'm at the Reisterstown Plaza. I see my stolen car. Please send someone. And meanwhile, he starts driving away. So I quickly get back in the car, and I back up, and I smash right into the shopping cart. I had never moved it. It goes flying across the parking lot. And I let it go, and I start following him. I'm thinking, I'll follow him to his house or wherever, and then I'll call the police again, and then we'll get the car back. Well, he starts driving kind of crazy. Like, he sort of weaves his way through the plaza's parking lot, and he gets to the light at Reisterstown Road, and it's red, and he blows right through it. And I'm right behind him, and I look left, and I look right, and I blow through it too. And now I'm in a car chase. And I didn't really know if he drove like this because he knew I was following him, or because people who steal cars just kind of drive crazy. But I was right on his tail, and then he started really driving fast, and I called the police back. I said, "I'm now in pursuit of my vehicle. I'm on Cross Country Boulevard approaching Falstaff, and, all of a sudden I think I'm in Starsky and Hutch or something." And the police say to me, "You need to stay in one place so we can send an officer to you." And I'm like, "I'm following my car." And I just hung up again. And he's passing people on double yellows. I'm passing people on double yellows. And I realize I'm doing something really stupid. In the back seat, Ethan is very inquisitive. And he says, "Daddy, where are we going?" And I was like, I found the mean man who stole my car. And he goes, "I thought Swiper stole your car." And I was like, "No, it's this guy. We're going to follow him." And then eventually he gets to the corner of, it was Green Spring and Smith Avenue, and he made a left, and he gunned it. And he must have been going 80 or 90 miles an hour. On one level, I was sort of impressed with the performance of my car. Because I'm like, he's really pushing that thing. But on the other, I was like, that's when I was done. Like, I'm not chasing him anymore. I realized I have Ethan in the back seat. I have the pregnant wife at home. And this is really Geico's problem. So I call the police back. I say, "I've lost the car." And they say, "You need to stay somewhere." I went to the Dunkin' Donuts on Reisterstown Road. And the cop came and met me. And he goes, "I tried to find you earlier, but the location kept changing." And I said, "That's because I was chasing my stolen car." And that just sort of ended. And I had to sort of live with the fact that, I didn't get the car back. I couldn't believe that slipped from my fingers. But the next day, Jennifer and Ethan and I all went to the farmer's market under 83. And it was a Sunday, and we were walking around, and we ran into a police officer, and I walked up to him, and I told him my whole story. I was like, "My car got stolen, and then I saw the guy, and I called the police, and that's what they did, and this is what I did." And I just asked him, like, "Did I do the right thing? Like, should I have gone up to the guy, or did the police do the right thing?" And he was sort of an older cop, and he sort of took this Zen approach and took a deep breath, and he said to me, "Are you standing here right now having this conversation with me, all in one piece?" And I said, "Yeah." And he was like, "You did the right thing." So the end of the story is a couple weeks later, just as the first police officer had predicted, it showed up, $8,500 worth of damage, no gas, couple banged out windows, and I got it back eventually.